and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio, and this is the Dan and Dave Show. You got the right coast and the left coast here to inform you, frustrate you maybe, and who knows what. But we try to do a little bit of all, and today's subject we'll get into in a minute, but first off, good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave. I was listening to your intro, and I was thinking, you know, if I stood on my head, the right coast then would become the left coast, and the left coast would become the right coast. So that's what we do here at the Dan and Dave Show. We're going to stand you on your head.
Ah. You know, the last time I did that, Johnny Carson, I before he was on The Tonight Show, he used to do a morning show on, I don't know whether it's NBC, whatever the station. So here it is, late in the summertime. I'm about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 years old. I'm not sure. I'm in the, whatever grade, second, third grade, and it's late in the summertime. School hadn't come back in yet, but I have the mumps. That was before they had the mumps vaccine. So I have the mumps. During the day, I had to stay in bed, but my mother let me stay in my parents' room, and because it had a second television, which was big time back in 54, 55, whenever it was. So I'm in my parents' room, and I'm watching television, watching Johnny Carson, and I don't know if you remember or not, but he used to talk about it every now and then. He was very much into yoga, and also very much, you know, physically fit and all this, and he was saying, okay, not everybody can stand on their head, you know, in an open room, but here's how you can stand on your head and, you know, help you with getting your feet up against the wall and all of this kind of stuff. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I think I'll try that. Now, keep in mind, the key word was I had the mumps. So I went and stood on my head and called my mother in, hey, Mom, look what, you know, Johnny Carson's doing it. I'm doing it, and yada-da-da-da. All well and good until about 3 days later when I went into a semi-coma because the mumps had gone down on me. I could have wound up really messing myself up. I didn't know it. Nobody told me you couldn't stand on your head when you had the mumps. You know, I'm a little kid. What do I know? So for the next two or three days, it was really touch and go, and it was good. My mother remembered, because when they took me into the doctor's office, about three sheets in the wind, you know, my mother told the doctor that I had, you know, she'd come into the bedroom, and there I was standing on my head, and, you know, it was just like, dumb. But, you know, how are you supposed to know? So, anyway, I don't stand on my head anymore, but this is sort of a lead-in to, I guess, you know, back in those days, too, you could go in and see your doctor. As you know, we've been doing some go-arounds on medical stuff, primarily because of age, that terrible word that I'm going to go throughout the world and cut that word out of every dictionary. But anyway, and you and I were talking about it before the show, and I thought I'd bring this up. We talk about medical care, health care, the system, Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, what the administration is going to do today. And I guess as we were talking earlier, Dan, the one thing I've learned over the past couple of 3 weeks is the fact that the system is broken. I don't know how to fix it. I have no clue how to fix it. All I know is that the more sophisticated they try to get with their EMR, their electronic medical records, the less contact you really have with the doctor, and the more cooks that are in the kitchen, the more screwed up things become. And I think both my wife and I are still, we still got most of our faculties. I've lost a few teachers, but for the most part, I have my act together, and certainly my wife does. And if you don't believe me, just ask her, and she'll tell you. But you know, it is tough to maneuver through the healthcare system today, and I don't see it getting any better. And every time that something recently has gone awry. And the one thing I will tell everybody, please, please take notes. Write down everything. Write down appointments. Write down who you're talking with. Write down everything, because you may need it. I cringe at the thought of my mother having to go through this by herself, or, you know, some other person that has me by 10 or 15 or 20 years. I could almost sit here and cry for them, because it is just outrageous. I don't know everything to blame or to point at or anything else. And there are a lot of good intending people in the healthcare system, but there's some that might not care as much as others, and they're the ones that seem to jam up the works, as they used to say. Your wife works in the medical system. Does she ever come home with any horror stories, or am I just venting and you want me to shut up and go away?
Yeah, go stand on your head again. I liked you better when you were upside down.
Oh, okay.
My wife told me a story about a recent surgery. And the patient went into surgery at 7 o'clock one morning, and they came out of surgery at about 10 o'clock that night. And this was with a fair sized surgical team of probably 6 or 7 key people, and then some attending people beyond that. And then the surgical team stayed in the hospital until 4 a.m. monitoring the patient. And then at 7 o'clock the next morning, they had another surgery. Now, you know, I'm wondering how sharp they're going to be for that second surgery. And yeah, I think that's one of the issues, is the hours that doctors put in. And if you're flying a jetliner, you know, you're restricted on hours. If you're driving a truck, you're restricted on hours, but you can do brain surgery day and night. No restriction.
You wouldn't mind being the first patient. It's that second or third one down the line.
Yeah, you got that right. You got that right. Well, while you were talking about issues with your doctor, and, you know, I think you're right to write everything down, keep a journal. And also use your phone as a recording device and record what the doctor says. We talked about that the other day, and I thought that was an awfully good idea.
Absolutely, because you can't remember everything. And if you're by yourself, you certainly can't remember everything. And you need it.
Well, you don't want to be by yourself, because you're emotional. You may be in shock. You probably aren't hearing but about 20% of the information that the doc is passing on to you. So, you know, be sure to take somebody with you. And I think that's the best insurance policy you can get. And I was just looking at a website talking about medical mistakes malpractice lawsuits. And the biggest problem, as you would expect, is communication. And there's miscommunication about the patient's condition, there's poor documentation, and then thirdly, there's a failure to read the patient's medical record. So all of these things set the patient up to be, you know, damaged in some way. And then they sue. But what good does that do when you've had your, you know, the wrong thing removed or something left inside or, you know, whatever?
You know,
I just want it done right the first time.
Yeah, and again, I think it comes back to how many cooks are in the kitchen. You know, you've got, obviously you've got, well, let me ask you, you go into surgery, you're going to have a appendectomy, a simple, quasi-simple operation. You've picked your doctor that's going to do the surgery. You go into the operating room. Who's in charge of the operating room? Do you know?
I don't know.
Or let me back up and say, who's in charge of the operation?
Yeah, well, I guess you don't know because you're unconscious, right?
No, I'll tell you who's in charge. I know exactly who's in charge. And this is somebody 99% of the time you've never met or you've never met with. But the person in charge of every operation that requires anesthesia, the person in charge of you and the operation is an anesthesiologist. Do you know that?
No.
He's over your surgeon. He's over your primary care, if he happens to be there or she happens to be. He's over everything in that operating room, he or she. Whoever the anesthesiologist is, they're in charge.
Well, then you want a good one.
You want a good one, but you don't pick and choose. You get whoever's on call at that hospital for that particular day.
Well,
stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Filming surgeries.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you brought that up. I have no clue if that's going to happen in the near future. But we were talking about this on the Classic Car Show, as a matter of fact, off mic. One of the hosts for the Classic Car Show, his wife recently had surgery, and he was blown away when the surgeon gave him a DVD of the procedure. I think I can't say this for sure. I can't make a blanket statement by any means. I would assume or guess that most operating rooms today do have DVD capabilities or recording capabilities. Only my guess. I don't know.
Well, you've heard of GoPro, right? Those are the little headset cameras that everybody's mm-hmm. wearing now. I'm looking at a film clip of a surgeon wearing one.
So I think it'd be great. I think they should, in fact. That covers the surgeon's tail if he's sued.
Mm-hmm.
It also identifies his mistake if he's sued. Mm-hmm. But I think the capabilities there, I think it's a great idea, almost as good an idea as stopping here and taking a break and coming back and talking about it more. We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose,
and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200. Or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on the interesting Dan and Dave show. We've got our mocks on and smocks or whatever they call them, and we're performing surgery on the Dan and Dave show today, talking about our broken medical system. You know, the other thing that is broken that people, well, we have a basically unaware nation, and again, I have no answer to it, but you know, there is an extreme shortage of doctors in the country, starting with primary care physicians, and I have gained a good primary care physician is your best friend. They should be able to spot the hangnail before ever going, you know, any further. They should be the ones that have the concern about you. Finding that kind of primary care physician may take going to several different physicians before you find the one that you're confident in and trust and feel like he or she is going to give you the best physical, the best looking over, and has your interest in mind. And, you know, this is a sad thing, too. When you and I grew up, Dan, we went to the same pediatrician. Then we went to the same family practitioner. And either they were fantastic actors, or I know as a kid, even in my teens, going to my dad's best friend, who was our family, he was an internal medicine man and internist. But I knew, I had no doubt when I would go to him, when I left the pediatrician and went to the grown-up doctor, I knew that he cared because we'd been family friends, we'd been, you know, I'd played with his kids and they had come over to our house for dinner and we'd gone to their house for dinner and, you know, it was just, you just had the confidence that he, you know, he might not have known everything, but he was going to do his best for you. And
sure.
I got my shoulder torn up when I was in high school, and I didn't call him. I didn't anything because we didn't have cell phones back then. But I went in to, and he was with a big hospital setting and so forth and so on. But I just walked right past the lobby, went to his office, knocked on his door, And I can rant like it was today. Dr. Douglas, I need you. I need some help. And, you know, my right arm is basically hanging off my shoulder. So, anyway, and, You know, I didn't even go to the emergency room. I went straight
to... Did you say your left arm was hanging off your right shoulder?
No, I said my arm was hanging off my right shoulder. Nobody... You know, we do weird things. Most people break their collarbone. I tore all the cartilage out from around my collarbone. So they had to go back in and wire it back together. This was when I was... 15, 16 years old. Anyway, but you can't walk into a doctor's office like that today. Security would probably throw you out in the middle of the street. You can't even call them and say, if you got a problem, go to the emergency room. And that was somewhat protocol back then, but I didn't want to go to the emergency room. I wanted to go see my doctor, you know, because I knew he'd take care of me. And, you know, you just don't, I don't know. Yeah, like I said, there are just too many, there are not enough doctors to go around. There are too many people that the doctors have to hire to survive, from the referral person to the bookkeeping person to this person to that person. And as I mentioned to you earlier, Dan, getting involved medically, it's like the old game that we used to play at birthday parties where you'd start off in a circle and you'd say, Dan ate an apple, and by the time it got back to you at the end of the circle, it would be Dan ate an elephant by himself. You know? And that's the way it is in the medical system today, I think.
Well, and doctors have a lot of liability issues. People want to sue them. And, you know, they protect themselves by buying insurance policies, and then the insurer gets involved in so many different ways in medicine.
Oh, yeah.
And insurance companies don't necessarily know much about medicine. I want to go see a doctor. I don't want to see an insurance agent.
Or you go, and before you can get a procedure done, somebody 3,000 miles away has to say, okay, or they say, no, we don't think that procedure is necessary. Let the frog stay in the guy's throat for another 3 or 4 years and we'll see what happens. It's not a good system by any means. And I, personally, from what we hear and what other doctors and or what doctors that come in and do shows are telling us, one of the best things that can happen is to, and this sounds very mercenary, but is to bring capitalism back into medicine. We have a thing over here called CON, and it was passed by the Georgia state legislature, and it was lobbied by all the hospitals and all this. CON stands for Certificate of Need. And over here, which is a sad, sad scenario in Georgia, but many small businesses and or operating centers, which didn't try to take on, they weren't operating centers to do heart transplants. They were operating centers to do procedures that didn't necessarily, outpatient procedures basically, but they became competitors of the hospitals, and so the hospitals bought them out and or forced them out. Same way with independent MRI and CAT scan facilities. They became competitive with the hospitals, so the hospitals went in and bought them out. I don't know about Oregon, but many practices, physician practices, have been bought out by hospitals over here. Insurance companies. In Georgia, I can't go to a competitor of a Georgia insurance company that might be in Alabama and get my insurance. If I want health insurance, it has to be from a Georgia insurance company. So we all, or I say we all, many of us agree that the best thing that could happen in medicine in Georgia, and I don't want to address some other state, but in Georgia would be to bring back competitiveness, capitalism, let the best man win. If I can do a CAT scan that in the hospital costs $6,000, and I happen to know that figure very well, if I can do it in an outpatient facility and charge you $1,500 for exactly the same thing, then you bring the hospitals down to becoming reasonable. So, yes, I'm for competition capitalism.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what the Trump option for medical care is going to be, what the replacement for the Obama plan will be. I think that's going to be tough. I think it's going to be hard to come up with a replacement that does everything that the Obama plan did. The Obama plan did some pretty unique things. Now, it's expensive, you know, and there's going to be waste and corruption in any system, but you know, the Obama plan had some qualities to it that a lot of people appreciate.
Until you have to use it. But, you know,
we were talking about video in the surgical room,
mm-hmm.
and I was sitting here thinking about colonoscopies, and you and I have both been on the wrong end of a colonoscopy, and I'd like to have audio recordings. I bet the audio recordings and colonoscopies are, you know, Saturday Night Live quality material if they could get it on. It's probably obscene, but...
Only you would see the humor in a colonoscopy.
Well, I've been sitting here chuckling to myself with this visual picture of, or you know, a mental picture of what's said. Anyway, I won't go into my imaginations. Hey, I got are you ready to switch subjects?
Sure.
I've come up with a way to retire. I have a retirement plan, but I'm not quite sure how to implement it, but let me kind of describe it to you, and it's pretty simple. You'll catch on real fast. But I would bet $100 that every time you turn on the news, that within the first 10 words, one of those words would be Trump. So you pay me every time that happens $100, and I'll pay you $100 every time it doesn't happen. And I bet you over the course of the next year, I'll be retired and living the good life. I kind of played that game by myself this weekend, and I'd turn on the news, and sure enough, in the first sentence, there would be Trump. Trump this, Trump that. That guy knows how to get his share of the news. He's a master. What do you think? Think that would work?
I think you should turn on the Weather Channel and see what you get.
Oh, dear.
You know, no,
I turned on public broadcasting this morning, and it, you know, the first sentence was Trump. People are concerned that the president now is taking advantage of executive orders and the executive position, and they want a bill passed. Well, they never wanted a bill passed when Obama was doing all of his executive orders. You know, it's just so funny. Everything is so political. You see everything through a political colored glass.
Yeah, and I, you know, did you watch his press conference?
I did not see the press conference. I saw his
rally
when they were in the hangar.
Yeah, the rally that he had in Florida.
Yeah, pep rally or whatever you want to call it.
I watched his press conference and pretty much watched the whole thing. And, you know, like many news anchor people have pointed out, the media can't handle him. They don't, you know, They're not used to this. They're used to being the aggressor of sorts, unless it was Obama, and they'd say, well, what color socks did you wear today? You know, some really tough questions. But Trump throws it right back in their face, and it's messing their heads up. And my wife and I got into a conversation the other day about, I must say, I get a bit tired of, Trump is pretty negative, but, you know, you look at right and wrong, and he's mostly right over being wrong. Now, he is, and a lot of people, the media has, I don't know if you, oops, it's time for a break. I talked right through it. We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show. We're waking people up. I know there are at least a couple of people that have been forced to drink an extra cup of coffee this morning just to be able to socially handle our conversation, but that's okay. So we're talking about your thing of you're going to get rich quick by you're getting some sucker to pay you $100 every time you turn on the news and it says Trump. You got to give the guy credit. I don't know the exact figures now. I had heard him at one time, but he spent, as I understand it, and correct me if you know differently, considerably less than his opponent did in the recent election as far as advertising and all that goes. And yet, he was all over the media and didn't have to pay for it. Anything he tweeted out was covered. And the most important thing, what is the most important thing of a good advertising program? Name recognition.
Well, yeah, name and repetition.
Yeah. And so, you know, the guy is very skillful. And many times, being in advertising for the 800 years that I've been in it, it's not what you say that they remember, it's that you said something, and when it comes to voting or buying or whatever it is, may not be correct, but they remember it was said, or it was shown, or it was done, or whatever. And that's what makes them move. And I think that in many cases prompted some of the voting. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. And he's a magician in getting people to, like you said, Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if he does that thoughtfully or if he just is built that way. I'm kind of thinking he's just built that way. it's just so natural for him to say and do what he does. When he did his rally this weekend, it's the first time that I've seen him without a tie on. He had an open neck shirt and a jacket. And I like that look. He looked good.
Speaking of that, what did you think of the First Lady coming out and saying the Lord's Prayer?
I saw a replay of that, and I'm going to sneeze, I think. Do you have a sneeze?
A sneeze? Yes, we do. Okay, there goes Dan, and he's welcome to sneeze all he wants to sneeze. And when he's done sneezing, we'll come back to him. Are you done now, Dan?
I'm back. I didn't sneeze, but you know how when you suffocate a sneeze, it just feels miserable.
Yeah,
it feels much better to sneeze.
Oh yeah, I just
I heard that she got criticism because she was quoting the Bible, or she was taking something from the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see the lead-in. I felt that it was a little bit awkward.
She walked up to the podium or the speakers, and just started saying it. And somebody said it had taken her 2 weeks to learn the Lord's Prayer, and that she was reading it. Plagiarizing the Bible and all this by reading it.
Yeah, plagiarizing.
She had it on a sheet of paper, and I watched it, and I had very, very mixed emotions. One side of me said, "This is fantastic. The lady has the intestinal fortitude to stand up in front of a crowd that has yelled and screamed, 'We want one nation under God again. We want, we want religion back in our society.'" And she had the guts to get up there and do it. And I can remember, I know it's illegal now, but you and I both can remember good and well going anything we went to, from a football game, basketball game, baseball game, on a local basis, you started out with a prayer. And today we have the Right Reverend Dr. Dan Kreider leading us in our invocation. And her getting up there and doing it, one side of me said, I appreciate that. That's beautiful and good for her. The other side of me, the cynical side, said, now, is she just doing that to get attention? And we know she's gonna catch flack for it. We know people are gonna be against it. So, and she had to have known that going in. So, is it a bad thing or a good thing? I finally, on my side of the fence, I finally decided that was a very good thing, and more political, more everything should be started in a country that calls themselves a Christian country, should be started with some type of a invocation, some type of a prayer, and you can't beat the Lord's Prayer. So I'm all for.
I've never heard the Lord's Prayer as a lead-off for a political event. I don't believe.
No.
I don't recall.
No.
The thing that bothered me about it, I guess, is that it's kind of divisive. And we're in a divisive time in our country, and for her to go up and do a Lord's Prayer seemed to me to put down people that aren't believers or people that believe other doctrine. Now, boy, it's a tough one. I go to a Bible study, and maybe at the Bible study tonight we'll talk about that. But I just see it as it's risky. It's risky, and as a Christian, I have to applaud her. But as a an American, I don't know. It's a tough one.
Well, like I said, across the board, I thought about this a bunch. Over the weekend, and the more I thought about it, the more, Hey, you know, you can say something, but until you do it, your words are nothing. And, you know, if you'd gone to a Billy Graham revival, what would you expect to hear? The baseball scores of yesterday's games? Or would you expect to hear a political message necessarily? Or would you expect or be offended to hear the Lord's Prayer? What's wrong with it? What I want to know is somebody pointing out, we tout the fact that we're a Christian nation. So what's wrong with doing exactly what she did? And the more I've thought about it, the more I respect her for doing it.
Well, you say we tout the fact that we're a Christian nation. Who is we? We is not everyone.
We have always, quote, end quote, touted our country. That's why it's on our coinage. That's why it's on our buildings. That's why, you know, and then we started trying to put it down or get away from it, but now it's come back. And, yeah, I think we is, I would say a majority would say we want and we are a Christian nation or a religious nation. Now, that might be Judaism. That might be something else. But, you know, I think the majority of the folks would still say they're Christians.
Well, I haven't seen anything in the news about her doing the Lord's Prayer. Have you? There was
initially a little bit of, she caught a little bit of flack and was, you know, the more I see her and the more, she doesn't do a whole lot as far as getting out in public. Who knows what she's doing behind the scene, but, you know, when she does do something, she makes a pretty good statement out of it. And I don't think this was obviously if she had written it out and wanted to say it as best she could, then there was thought. And folks can say that there's disarray and this and that about the Trump administration, but I don't think she did it without Trump knowing that she was going to do it and that it had been approved by whoever the powers might be, which ultimately is Donald Trump. So I think it was a thought-out decision, and, you know...
Did the crowd join her in the Lord's Prayer?
As a matter of fact, you could hear the mics weren't on the crowd, per se, but you could hear, yes, they did. You could hear some of them, yeah.
Did she seem comfortable doing that, or was she uncomfortable?
Well, it's somebody compared it to how many times have you seen an artist get up to sing the national anthem and screw it up or forget some of the words or something when they've probably practiced it 1,000 times and yet they get in even the best of the artists will mess up. So she had written it out, and, you know, this is where they came up with the plagiarism or whatever, that she was reading it and, you know, yada-da-da-da. But for the most part, she wasn't reading it. She was saying it. And, you know, to be in front of 10,000 people doing something that's never been done before, I could say that would give me a little, you know, I could see how I would lose my memory maybe for a minute or something.
kidding her. The plagiarism thing was a kid because she apparently used Michelle Obama's speech for nominating her husband.
Or a couple of words out of it or something.
Yeah, well, more than a couple of words. I mean, it was darn close.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time to take that last break. We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is, this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is, Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient, because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we do thank you for listening to America's Web Radio. We had a great classic car show on Saturday, Dan, with Bruce Shaw. He's an attorney, and you know, we ought to come up with a thing. Name something. Name anything. Business or how could I guess basically business or hobby or whatever, that fraud, some way or the other, isn't involved. And if you come up with the answer to check this, well, the crooks come up with another way to get around what you just figured out how to stop. And fraud, I mean, would you think of fraud being rampant in the classic car hobby slash industry? And which it is.
I guess there's a lot of money.
Oh yeah,
in classic cars,
and a lot of fraud. And he specializes in fraud and sues people and all the rest of the stuff. And advises buyers on if they're about to get had. And it was a very, very interesting show. We're gonna have Bruce Spike on in a few weeks. We started the show and had apprehensions about whether, you know, he could go the full hour or whatever. But the deeper the hole, the more he had to say, and the more fascinating it was. When you and I were growing up, probably the biggest fraudulent thing that happened was that you might have a mechanic set your odometer back so you could sell your used car with 20,000 miles on it instead of 120,000. But it has gone crazy now on what people do. So anyway, you were laughing about something while we were off the air, and my curiosity is, I'm sitting here and I'm just about to explode wondering what you were laughing about.
Well, I'm torn about talking about this because it involves Portland, and there's a lot of talk about Portland being weird. Well, I just flipped through the news here, and the headline is Pet Snake Gets Stuck in Woman's Ear Piercing Hole. So this Portland woman was rushed to the emergency room She has a piercing in her earlobe, you know, a big round circle type piercing.
Yeah.
And she has a baby snake, a baby python. And so this baby python tried to crawl through that earlobe hole and got stuck. And so they had to take her to emergency and extract the snake. I just thought, you know, that's a typical Portland story. You don't probably have that going on where you live, but...
They couldn't just pull the snake out of the hole?
Well, yeah, you would think, wouldn't you? I mean...
How do you feel about... You brought it up. How do you feel about body piercing?
Well, I think typically it's pretty ugly. I think some tattoos are very attractive, but overdone, I don't like them. Same with piercings. I think some piercings are... might be attractive, but like this young woman has them in her nose and her eyebrows and her lips and her earlobes and whoever knows whatever, but you know, too much of a good thing is not good.
You know, I don't know whether your wife has pierced ears or not. My wife does, and this was something that I quite frankly, one of my grandmothers had pierced ears, and she lived long enough that the earlobe with the pierced earlobes began to sag, and I couldn't think of anything more unattractive than that.
I've seen that too, sure.
And,
sure, yeah.
You know, and I was really, for many, many years growing up, I was very opposed, because of my grandmother, opposed to women that had pierced ears. And I probably won't live long enough to see my wife's earlobes sag, but there's always a possibility, I guess. But, you know, your story about... Yeah, you're right. Only in Portland.
Only in Portland. And that's just one of many stories that one could tell about this crazy town. I tell you, we're the liberal capital of the world. Great place to live. Beautiful sights and scenery. And I love the weather, actually, except sometimes the rain is a little bit too much. And it would be nice to be warmer sometimes. But, you know, all in all, it's a great place to live. But some of the people are just over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And
And Washington is worse, isn't it?
I don't think any place is worse than Portland. Washington has its challenges, I'm sure. Oh, well, we covered a bunch of stuff today on the Dan and Dave show. I don't know if any of it was important.
Well, sure.
I think we did have a little bit of fun. I feel better than I did when I started the program. I've got a little energy now. I can go through the rest of my day.
How many cups of coffee have you had?
Just one.
Just one?
Just one, and I'm going to meet a business friend at 9 o'clock for more coffee, so... You know, I'll get in my limit for the day, I'm sure.
Well, you know, we've got about 5 minutes to go, so you really can't go anywhere, Dan.
I was just going to pull the plug on the jug early.
What do we want to talk about
that's going to change the world in 5 minutes, around the world in 5 minutes?
I was just thinking about you and I just sitting here and humming. You know? Hum your favorite tune, whatever that might be. I don't know if I may have told you this. I don't know. I can't remember. But back many, 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 many years ago, when I was 6 or 7 years old, my uncle that was a big rancher in New Mexico.
A big rancher?
Big. He owned lots of property, So,
big.
No, big rancher. And anyway, his wife, my aunt, they gave me a Roy Rogers chap and vest that, because I love cowboy, I always wore cowboy boots, and was always hanging around my uncle when he was home and stuff. Anyway, so I thought, here those suckers are, over 50 years old now and in perfect shape. I always took care of my Roy Roger vest and chaps. And I thought, I bet they're really worth something today. Those are collector items, So
yeah.
I looked them up online, and my wonderful Roy Rogers set of chaps and vest are worth, you want to guess?
$29.95.
A little bit better than that, but not much. $100, $99. And I'm thinking, my God, they probably paid that much for them.
I'd pay you that much for them.
I'm not going to sell them to you.
I'd love to have. It would go with my Gene Autry six shooter.
Oh.
My silver pearl handled Gene Autry six shooter.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I was going to get rich quick, but I thought, they might, to be at that price. And they, you could pull it up, and there they were, exactly what I've got. To be at that price, they must have made 50 million sets of those things or something. That there's a glut on the market of Roy Roger. And I'll make you a bet, that you could go up to many, many, many kids today and say, who was Roy Rogers? And they wouldn't have a clue.
Oh, no clue at all.
So,
no clue at all.
My feelings were hurt. I had a hard time handling the fact that my Roy Rogers stuff wasn't very valuable. And I may go home today and cry about it. I don't know.
Well, are they real leather?
Oh yeah. Beautiful. Wow. I wore them a ton, but you couldn't wear them all the time, so. Anyway, it is now time to put the plug in the jug and get ready for Kurt Sumner and the Land Surveying Show here on America's Web Radio. Oh, one quick thing. Our Immigration Hour is out of the seven most listened to law shows in the country. It is number three in the podcast. I was blown away with that figure.
Wow.
So people are listening. With that being said, Dan, thank you as always, and we're going to put the plug in the jug, get out of here, and we'll be back next Monday. Take care.
Good talking to you, and talk to you later.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.